A very good morning to one and all. And I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Once again, welcome one and all to our worship this morning. We have considered previously concerning the use of the tongue, and in that portion, the servant of the Lord, James, is directing that message to generally to believers, but particularly to the teachers of the word. And now in this section, verses 13 to 18, James is highlighting a very important part, and that is the right use of the tongue, and that can only come when we have spiritual wisdom. Knowledge enables us to take things apart, but wisdom enables us to put things together and relate God's truth to daily application. Brethren and friends, we are living in days where we are daily bombarded by all kinds of knowledge, so-called, which generate confusion and fear. And even the Christians are deceived. Our subject today is cultivating a biblical mind. James here is contrasting true wisdom and false wisdom in three aspects or in three ways. The first contrast between true wisdom and false wisdom is in its origin. In other words, where does these two wisdoms come from? So he is contrasting true wisdom and false wisdom in its origin. James shows us that true wisdom comes from above. Verse 15, this wisdom descended, or rather, first of all, wisdom that are earthly or from the world is earthly, sensual, devilish. But true wisdom comes from God. And this is to say that there is a heavenly wisdom that comes from God, and there is a man-made wisdom, as mentioned in verse 15. The Bible has many examples of the folly of man's wisdom. For example, the building of the Tower of Babel. It seems like a very wise enterprise, but it ended in failure and confusion. You read this in Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 to 9. And then when you look at the Old Testament example, another example is, it seems wise for Abraham to go to Egypt when famine came to Canaan, but the results prove otherwise. And this is recorded for our learning in Genesis 12. 10 to 20. Then we have King Saul. He thought it was wise to put his own armor on young David for the young man to battle or to fight against Goliath. But God's plan was otherwise. This is in 1 Samuel 17 verses 38 and following. And then in the New Testament, we find that the disciples thought it was wise to dismiss the great crowd and let them find their own food. But Jesus took a few loaves and five fishes and fed the multitude. The Romans experts in Acts 27 thought it was wise to leave the port and set sail for Rome, even though the Apostle Paul disagreed, and the storm that followed proved that Paul's wisdom was better than their expert counsel. They live to regret it, but they live. What then? Or rather, what is the origin of man's wisdom? We are told in verse 15, this wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. The believer has three enemies, and we all know that, particularly those of us who are Christians, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Paul teaches this in Ephesians 2 verses 1 to 3. These enemies are suggested by the terms earthly, sensual, devilish. There is a wisdom of this world. Paul describes in 1 Corinthians 1, 20 to 21. Let us not be confused, brethren, with the world's knowledge and the world's wisdom. Certainly, there is a great deal of knowledge in this world. We do not deny that, and we all benefit from it. But there is not much wisdom from the world. Man unlocks the secrets of the universe, but he does not know what to do with them. Almost everything that man discovers or devises turned against him. Over a century ago, the man by the name of Henry David warned that man had improved means to unimprove ends, unquote. The world, by its wisdom, know not God, and in its wisdom, in fact, rejected the gospel of God. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. 1 Corinthians 1:18. Man's wisdom is foolishness to God. 1 Corinthians 1:20. And God's wisdom is foolishness to man. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Man's wisdom comes from reason, while God's wisdom comes from revelation. Man's worldly wisdom will come to nothing. 1 Corinthians 1:19. While God's wisdom will endure forever. Because the world has turned against and from God, it has lost its wisdom. Every increase in man's knowledge only serves to magnify the problem. Why? Because we are told in Romans 3:18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Whereas God's word says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Proverbs 9 verse 10. James next pointed out that this false wisdom has another source. It is sensual. That is, it is natural. The Greek word means life or soul. In 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14, and also chapter 15 verse 44 and 46, this Greek word translated as sensual is translated as natural, referring to the opposite of spiritual. In Jude 19, it is also translated as sensual. The main idea here is to bring out man's fallen nature as opposed to the new nature given by God. There is a wisdom that gets its origin in man's fallen nature totally apart or separated from the Spirit of God. Besides being earthly and sensual, this wisdom is also devilish, which is better translated as demonic. Why is man-made wisdom described as demonic or called demonic? It is simply because its origin is from the evil one, Satan. You remember in Genesis chapter 3, where Satan successfully deceived Eve, and he continues to do so throughout the entire Bible, as we know, and there is a so-called wisdom of Satan at work, fighting against the wisdom of God. Satan convinced Eve that she would be like God. He told her that the tree would make her wise. Ever since that event, men have continued to believe Satan's lies and have tried to become their own gods. And this we know in Romans 1 verses 18 to 25. Satan has wisdom that will confound and confuse you if you do not know or have the wisdom of God. In contrast to the wisdom that is earthly, sensual, and devilish, James described a wisdom that is from above. Look at verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Every good and perfect gift is from above. James 1 verse 17. The Christian looks up to the Lord Jesus for all that he or she needs in this life. His citizenship is in heaven, Philippians 3:20, just as his heavenly Father is in heaven, Matthew 6:9. His treasures are in heaven and not on earth, Matthew 6 verse 19 and the verses that follows. He was born from above, John 3:1-7, when he trusted the Lord Jesus as his Savior. The believer's home is in heaven, John 14 verse 1-6, and the believer's hope, or the Christian hope, is in heaven. He or she sets his affection or her affection and attention on things above and not on things earthly or things of the earth. Colossians 3 verse 1-4. So then, what is Christian wisdom or wisdom that comes from above? To begin with, the Lord Jesus Christ is our wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:24 and also verse 30. In Christ, we are told, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2:3. Christ is the embodiment of all true wisdom, which is heavenly, because it comes from heaven. Therefore, most importantly, the first step towards true wisdom is what? Is the receiving of the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you do not have Christ as your Savior, you will not have wisdom that comes from above. Because wisdom that comes from above is from our Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, you must know, do you have Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? The Word of God is also our wisdom. For we are told already in the Old Testament, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgment. Keep therefore and do them. For what reason? This is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nation. Deuteronomy 4 verses 5-6. When you turn to the New Testament, the scriptures are able to make believers wise unto salvation. 2 Timothy 3:15. James 1 verse 5 indicates that we find wisdom through believing prayer. How can a Christian have wisdom that comes from above, that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ? James 1 verse 5 says, if any of you, Christians, believers, lack wisdom, let him ask of God. The Holy Spirit of God is the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Ephesians 1 verse 17. And the Holy Spirit directs the believers in the wisest paths as he trusts the word and seeks the Lord's will. The origin of true spiritual wisdom is God. To get your wisdom from any other source is to get yourself into trouble. There is no need to get counterfeit wisdom of the world. The wisdom that caters to the flesh and accomplishes the work of the devil for a believer. How do you cultivate a biblical mind? First of all, as I said just now, very fundamental, do you have Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? And thereafter, get your wisdom from God through the Holy Spirit, enlightening your mind as you spend time in the Word of God. Then James moves on. The second contrast between true wisdom and false wisdom, besides its origin, the contrast here is in operation. In operation. And that is taken from verses 13, 14, and 17. The wisdom from above, God's wisdom, operates in a very different way from the wisdom that is earthly, sensual, devilish. Since they originate from radically different sources, they must operate in the opposite ways. What are the evidences of false wisdom? Number one, envy. Look at verse 14a. And this word carries the meaning of selfish ambition and zeal. It ties in with James chapter 3 verse 1, where James warns us not to be ambitious for spiritual office, to be teachers of the world. The wisdom of the world says, promote yourself, advance yourself at all costs. Sad to say, that is a great deal of selfish, carnal promotion among God's people. Even the apostles, we read in the gospel, argue over who was the greatest in the kingdom. It is easy for us to go on an ego trip under the guise of spiritual zeal. We see that in the Pharisees. They use their religious activities to promote the praise of man. Matthew 6 verse 1 to 18. We who are believers ought to be zealous in the things of the Lord, but we must be sure that our motives are God glorifying and not self venerating. The wisdom of this world exalts man and robs God of glory. In 1 Corinthians 1 verse 17 and the verses that follow, Paul discussed the wisdom of God and the wisdom of this world, and he explained why God works as he does, so that no flesh should glory in his presence. All glory goes to God. 1 Corinthians 1:29. And then Paul concluded the section with the admonition, he that glorifieth, let him glory in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:31. Brethren, is your zeal for the Lord Jesus spiritual or carnal? Do you rejoice when others succeed, or do you have a secret envy and criticism? Do we feel burdened when others fail, or are we glad when they fall? When the wisdom of the world gets into the church, there is a great deal of fleshly promotion and human glorification. Therefore, let us beware. Let us seek the Lord's help to be sharp and not to be spiritually gullible. And let us fill our minds and our hearts with the Word of God. The second evidence of false wisdom is strife, verse 14b. And this word means party spirit. It was used by the Greek to describe a politician out canvassing for votes, just like we see this day. The world's wisdom says, get all the support you can by all means. Of course, this spirit of self-seeking only creates what? Rivalry and division in the church. To counter the spirit of strife, God's word teaches us, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better or more important than themselves. Philippians 2:3. The third evidence of false wisdom is boasting. Pride loves to boast, and nothing is prouder than the wisdom of man. There is a way to report blessing so that God gets the glory, but there is also an approach that gives man the praise. In 2 Corinthians 10, when Paul was forced, so-called, to boast about his ministry, he was very careful to give glory to God. He says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." 2 Corinthians 10:12. When God's wisdom is at work, there is a sense of humility and submission. And the believer's desire is for God to get all the glory. As John the apostle says, "His name must increase, my decrease." The Christians have no desire to compare himself with any other Christian, because you see only Christ and compare with him. And all else still have a long way to go. Or rather, all of us still have a long way to go. The third evidence of false wisdom is deceit. Lie not against the truth. Verse 14. The sequence is not difficult to understand. First, there is selfish ambition that leads to party spirit, and then rivalry. In order to promote oneself, we must resort to boasting. And boasting usually involves lies. A man's life is not read in his press releases. It is read by the Lord Jesus in his heart. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have the praise of God, says Paul in 1 Corinthians 4:5. After showing us four evidences of false wisdom, James now turns to the evidences of true wisdom, wisdom that comes from above. The first evidence of heavenly wisdom is what? Meekness, verse 13. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is power under control. The meek person does not selfishly exert him or herself. The Greek word was used for a horse that has been broken so that his power was under control. The meek person seeks only the glory of God and does not care to, or rather does not cater to the praises of men. Meekness is a fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:23. It cannot be manufactured by men. There is a false humility that some people mistake for meekness, but it is only counterfeit. The phrase meekness of wisdom is an interesting one in verse 30. Meekness is the right use of power, and wisdom is the right use of knowledge. They go together. The person who is truly wise or has wisdom, godly wisdom, will show in his or her daily life, meaning to say in his conduct. The word translated there or used conversation refers to behavior. That he or she is a child of God, a true believer. A true believer, one who knows Christ or has Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, will have the wisdom to use the right use of power. And that is meekness and wisdom in the right use of knowledge. Attitude and action go together. The second evidence of godly or heavenly wisdom is first pure. And the word can refer to holy. It indicates the importance of holiness. God is holy, therefore the wisdom from above is pure. The idea behind this word is chaste, free from defilement. James uses it again in James 4 verse 8, purify your heart or make chaste your heart. God's wisdom leads to purity of life. Man's wisdom may lead to sin. There is a spiritual purity that results in chaste relationship with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3. And there is a worldliness that makes the person a spiritual adulterer. James 4 verse 4. Then James move on. The third evidence of true wisdom is peace. Verse 17b. Man's wisdom leads to competition, rivalry, war. We read this in James 4 verse 1 to 2. But God's wisdom leads to peace. It is a peace based on holiness, not on compromise. God never has peace at any price. The peace of the church is not more important than the purity of the church. If the church is pure, devoted to God, then there will be peace. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. Where do we get this teaching? Isaiah 32 verse 17. I repeat, the work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. The church can never have peace by sweeping sins under the rug and pretending they are not there. Man's wisdom says, cover up sin. Don't rock the boat. God's wisdom says, confess. Repent of your sin, and my peace will keep things together. The fourth evidence is gentleness. Verse 17c. It carries the meaning of moderation without compromise. Gentleness without weakness. The gentle person does not deliberately cause fights, but neither does he or she compromise the truth in order to keep peace. Someone described Abraham Lincoln as a man of velvet steel. That is a good description of gentleness. The fifth evidence of true wisdom is compliance. Translated here in 17, verse 17, D as easy to be entreated. God's wisdom makes the believer agreeable and easy to live with and work with. Man's wisdom makes a person hard and stubborn. The compliant person is willing, humble, to hear all sides of a question, but he or she does not compromise his or her own convictions. He can disagree without being disagreeable. He is swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. James 1 verse 19. When God's wisdom is at work, brethren, there is a willingness to listen, think, pray, and obey whatever God reveals. Yielding to persuasion is another translation of this word, compliance, or easy to be entreated. Then next, sixthly, we have mercy. To be full, here, full of mercy, it means to be controlled by. The person who follows God's wisdom is controlled by mercy. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Luke 6:36. God in His grace give us what we do not deserve, and in His mercy He does not give us what we do deserve. Our Lord's parable of the Good Samaritan illustrates the meaning of mercy in Luke 10:25-37. For a Samaritan to care for a Jewish stranger was an act of mercy. He could gain nothing from it except the blessing that comes from doing the will of God. And the victim could not pay him back. That is mercy. The seventh evidence of true wisdom is good fruit. Verse 17f. Christians who are faithful are fruitful Christians. God's wisdom does not make a life empty. It makes it full. The fruit, the Spirit produces fruit to the glory of God. You see this in John 15 verse 1 to 16. The lawyer in Luke 10:25-37 was willing to discuss the subject of neighborliness, but he was unwilling to be a neighbor and help someone else. God's wisdom is practical. It changes the life and produces good fruits to the praise and the glory of God. The eighth evidence of true wisdom is decisiveness. And that is the word translated as without partiality in 17G. The word suggests singleness of mind and is the opposite of wavering, of uncertain. James 1 verse 6. When you lean on God, or when you lean on world's wisdom, you are pressured from one side and then another to change your mind or to take another viewpoint. When you have God's wisdom, you need not waver. You will be decisive and not be afraid. Wisdom from above brings strength from above. The ninth evidence of true wisdom is sincerity. Verse 17h. The Greek word translated hypocrite in our New Testament means one who wears a mask like an actor or actress. When man's wisdom is at work, there may be insincerity and pretense. When God's wisdom is at work, there is openness and honesty, speaking the truth in love. Ephesians 4:15. Wherever you find God's people pretending and hiding, you can be sure the wisdom of this world is governing their minds and their hearts. Religious politics is an abomination to God. Faith is living without scheming. There is quite a contrast between the operation of God's wisdom and the operation of the wisdom of this world. We do well, each one of us, to evaluate our own lives and our own hearts and our service to the Lord Jesus in the light of what James has written. While the local church is an organization, it cannot depend or rely on worldly methods and philosophy to grow spiritually. God's way and God's thoughts are far above us. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Finally, the third contrast between true wisdom and false wisdom is the contrast in outcome. 16:18. Origin determines outcome. Worldly wisdom will produce worldly results. Spiritual wisdom will give spiritual result. James says in verse 16 that worldly wisdom produces trouble, strife, envy, confusion, evil works. It does not appear that God was at work in that church of the Jewish believers. In James 4, James would deal with the wars and fightings among the believers. Wrong thinking produces wrong living. The word translated confusion means disorder that comes from instability. It is related to unstable in James 1 verse 8 and unruly in James 3 verse 8. When you turn to 2 Corinthians 12:20, and you will get a description of a church that is confused. Jesus used this word to describe the convulsion of the world in the last day in Luke 21:9. Jealousy, competition, party spirit, all of this contribute to confusion. Confusion sets the stage for every evil work, James 3:16. Evil here means worthless or of no account. It reminds us of the wood, hay, and stubble mentioned in 1 Corinthians 3:12. A ministry operating in the wisdom of the world may appear to be great and successful as we look at the numbers, but in the day of judgment, it may be burned up. Therefore, judge nothing before the time, as I have said just now in 1 Corinthians 4:5. The church at Smyrna thought it was poor, but the Lord said it was rich. While the rich church at Laodicea was declared to be poor. Revelation 2:9 and chapter 3:14-22. The most important thing that we can do in our local church or churches is measure our life and our worship and our service to God by the word of God, not by wisdom of man, not by numbers. Just because there are thousands that go to the church, therefore it must be blessed of the Lord. The many battles among Christians, the church seat, the absence of purity and peace in the church, all that suggests something is fundamentally wrong. And perhaps that something is the absence of the wisdom of God. Then in verse 18, James pointed out that God's wisdom produces blessing. James returned to that word fruit. There is a vast difference between man-made results and God-given fruit. Fruit is the product of life, and fruit has its seeds for more fruit. Usually it is the seed that is sown, but here it is the fruit that is sown. As we share the fruit of God with others, they are fed and satisfied, and then In turn, they bear much fruit for the glory of God. The Christian life is a life of sowing and reaping. And for that matter, every life is a life of sowing and reaping. And we reap just what we sow. The Christian who obeys God's wisdom sows righteousness, not sin. He sows peace, not war. The life we live enables the Lord Jesus to bring righteousness and peace into the lives of others. What we are is what we live, and what we believe is what we sow. What we sow determines what we reap. If we live in God's wisdom, we sow righteousness and peace, and we reap God's blessing. If we choose to live in man's worldly wisdom, we sow sin and war, and we reap confusion and every evil work. It is a very serious thing to be a troublemaker in God's family. One of the sins that God hates is that of sowing discord among brethren. You read this in Proverbs 6, verse 16 to 19. When you look at the Old Testament, Lot, the nephew of Abraham, he followed the world's wisdom and brought trouble to the camp of Abraham. But Abraham followed God's wisdom and brought peace. Lot's decision led to a good-for-nothing work, and everything he lived for went up in smoke at the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham's decision in the wisdom of God led to blessings not only for his own household, ultimately for the whole world. You read this in Genesis chapter 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Proverbs 3:13. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And only the Christian in Christ can have the wisdom from Christ. Let us pray. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we pray for your help. We ask that, Lord, you will incline our hearts more and more to the wisdom of God. O Lord, we pray that thy Spirit will win our hearts from the philosophies and from the ways of the world, that, Lord, we may seek after thee diligently, for in Christ there is wisdom. O Father, we pray that you will help us, for we are living in a world of confusion and madness and lawlessness, and we need the wisdom of Christ, so that we, thy people, will know how to live our lives that will glorify thy holy name. O Father, we pray that your Spirit will open our spiritual eyes to see the foolishness of going in the ways of the world, that we may see the blessing, the glory of having the wisdom of Christ that comes from above. So turn our hearts to thee in repentance and help us to diligently seek after thee while you may be found. Hear this our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.